Today's scripture reading was about two incidents in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It began with Jairus coming to Jesus and talking to Jesus on behalf of his daughter, who was very ill. And then as Jesus started walking towards the house of Jairus, we see a second event developing as a woman with the issue of blood comes to Jesus, touches him, and kind of interrupts Jesus' journey to the house of Jairus. After the healing of the woman with the issue of the blood, Jesus continues on his journey to the home of Jairus. But as we look at these two incidents there, we see that there are similarities between the two accounts, and similar observations can be made about the two incidents. And we will be looking together at three of these similarities here as we see them in this section here in Mark chapter 5. The first thing we want to note is the problem of sickness. The problem of sickness. And we see it first of all, of course, in the case of Jairus. He went to Jesus and he said, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." You know, we immediately see here that sickness reaches all classes of society. Jairus, we're told, was a ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the synagogue. That means he had quite a high position. Having a high position, he would also have a good income. So we can see that he was a man who was probably wealthy. He would be able to afford the very best doctors at his time. Yet money could not keep death away from his daughter. He said she lieth at the point of death. But sickness and trouble came to his home. And it doesn't make any difference whether you are rich or poor. Sickness can come to your home. And that's why I say the problem of sickness. And the matter doesn't matter what class of society you are in, what kind of a job you have, you know, sickness reaches all classes of society. And then, as we look at the other account, we see the woman. A woman had an issue of blood, we're told, for 12 years, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years. We don't know anything really about the woman. We don't know her name. We don't know whether she was rich or whether she was poor. But we do know this. She went to many different doctors. Verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So we're told that she went to see many different doctors. She spent whatever money that she had. And instead of getting better, she got worse. So we see the problem of sickness. Now, you know, when God created Adam and Eve, going way back there in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, there was no sickness. There was no sorrow. We know there was no death, but then sin came into the world. And with the sin came sickness and sorrow and death. God had said, "And on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He had told Adam, "Don't eat of the fruit of that tree." But Adam and Eve disobeyed. Death came into the world. Sin came into the world. Suffering came into the world. Sickness came into the world. Sorrow came into the world. All because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And ever since, mankind has had to deal with sickness, with sorrow, and ultimately also with death. It's quite good for us to remember to pray for those who are sick. Because, you know, we as Christians are not exempt. Even Christians get sick. And even Christians die. Of course, you realize that when a Christian dies, he or she goes to be with the Lord. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But death still comes. And sickness still comes. Now, there is a teaching that, you know, if you're a Christian, you should also always be in good health. Just have faith and you'll have good health. And if you don't have good health, it's because you didn't have enough faith. And if you happen to be a parent and you have a sick child and the child is not getting better, it's because you did not have enough faith. That is heresy. Because we know from the Word of God that God sometimes sends illness that He may teach us. We see that in John chapter 9. Why was this man born blind? Because of his sins, his parents' sins. Jesus said neither. He was born blind that he might see the glory of God. And the psalmist said, it was good that I had been afflicted, that I might be drawn closer to the Lord. So sickness will come. It's time for us to reflect, to think, and to meditate upon the Word of God. You know, when you're flat on your back in bed, there is not much you can do. But you can pray, you can read the Word of God, you can meditate. And you know, you're not going to be interrupted as much with telephone calls when you're in the hospital as you are at home. So good time to spend with the Lord. And I found a few times that I've been in the hospital that there are precious times of fellowship with the Lord. But to say a Christian should never get sick, no. Christians also get sick. And so we see that as a result of sin having come into the world. And so the sickness touched the home of Jairus with his daughter being ill, and it touched the woman. 12 years with that issue of blood. It's a long time to be sick. But we want to go on with the passage. And we want to look, secondly, after the problem of sickness, we want to look at the preciousness of faith. The preciousness of faith. Let's look at the woman first. Verses 27 through 29 we read, when she, the woman, had heard of Jesus, came in the press or in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said to herself, no doubt, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now notice what she says. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now that is faith. That's the faith of that woman. She had the faith. She didn't even have to talk to him. All she had to do was touch his clothes. And she said, I know I shall be whole. I shall be healed. Now of course, when she does that, Jesus knew what had happened. Because Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that is, that had strength or power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? Now it's interesting. Now here's this large crowd of people, and who touched me? The disciples, well, they didn't think very much of it. You know, the disciples said to him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" I mean, so many people are crowding around you. Of course, several people would probably have touched you. This is nothing special. But it was something special. Jesus knew. And he looked for the woman, verse 32. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Remember, Jesus knows all things. He knew that she had been deliberately touched. He knew who it was. And as he looked around, the woman realized she could not hide from our Lord. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So she told him, "I have faith. And if I would but touch you, that I would be healed. And I know I am healed." She told him all the truth. And it is then that Jesus speaks those well-known words, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The key is a woman's faith. Her faith. Now, before we come back to the subject of faith, let us look at Jairus. Now, can you imagine his concern? You know, here he had gone to Jesus. "My daughter lies at the point of death. Please come to my house. Lay your hand upon her. Heal her." And Jesus said, "Yes, I'll come along." And they're starting out, going towards the house of Jairus. And all of a sudden, everything stops. "Who touched me?" "Well, Lord, if all these people here, sure, somebody touched you." No, "I know somebody touched me deliberately. And the woman, well, I did it." And here is Jairus. "Hurry up, hurry up. My daughter is so sick." You can imagine, you know, that he was quite concerned about the delay. He was in a hurry. His daughter was at the point of death. And we're told, while he, that is Jesus, yet spake, while he was still speaking to the woman, that came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain of it, said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Too late now. If he had gone straight, he might have gotten there just before she died, and he might have been able to lay a healing hand upon her. But now, too late. Don't trouble the master anymore. Nothing now that can be done. But note what Jesus said when he heard the news in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Now, you want to put that another way? Be not afraid, but have faith. Because believing is having faith. In other words, our Lord told Jairus, have faith in God. The woman, by faith, has made thee whole. Now, Jairus, you have that kind of faith. And let's see what's going to happen. What is faith? Well, if you look at the world, many people would say faith is a leap in the dark. People don't have much to do with faith. A leap in the dark. You know, you're just there, there's an edge there, you jump down, but it's in the dark. You don't have any idea how deep it is, how long you'll fall before you hit bottom. Maybe a couple inches, a couple centimeters. Maybe it's a couple meters. Maybe it's 100 or 200 meters. Just a leap in the dark. You don't know what the results will be when you jump down. But we don't agree with that kind of a definition of a leap in the dark. Picture with me a house, and underneath the house there is a crawl space or a cellar, and the father and the family is working in there. There's been some things, some issues. He needs to go down there to check. He's opened a little space there, some opening that he can go through to check out underneath, checking the pipes and whatever else there is to check. And while he is down there, his son says, "Dad, yes, son, can I go to be with you?" "Yes, son, you can come down here." And the father works his way up to that opening that is there. And he says, "Just jump down." "But Dad, it's dark. I can't see anything down there." "Son, I'm right there. I can see you. Just jump and I'll catch you." "Would you? Would you jump?" The son did, because he trusted his father. And of course his father caught him. So faith is not simply a leap in the dark, not knowing where you are jumping. But faith is a leap in the dark, knowing that the Father is there to catch you. The Father is there. We don't have to worry. We know that He is there to receive us. And that's why I like this definition of faith. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. Now, some of you have heard me give that definition before, and you'll probably hear me give it again, because I like that definition. Don't go to the book of Hebrews. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, what does that mean? Well, I like it simple. Faith is just believing that what God says, He will do. God makes promises. He keeps His promises. He said His word is the word of a gentleman. He does what He promises He will do. So He keeps His word. So we believe that what God says He will do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We believe that. God has promised it. When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's His promise. I have faith. You should have faith. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. See, that's the word of the gentleman. He keeps His word. That is faith, believing that what God says He will do. What a wonderful realization that is, to know that God keeps His word and does what He says He will do. Now, there's another definition, of course, in the form of an acrostic. Some of you will be familiar with that. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Now, there are two variations of this. Forsaking all, I take Him. And forsaking all, I trust Him. Now, when we come to Christ for saving faith, forsaking all, I take Him. But then once we are saved, we trust Him for everything. For we not only are saved by faith, but by grace are you saved through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But the Bible also says that we walk by faith and not by sight. The Christian life is like a walk. And we walk day by faith. So in that case, it is forsaking all. I trust Him. And so depending on your situation, faith is either forsaking all, I take Him as my Savior and Lord, or forsaking all, I trust Him to guide me, to direct me, to lead me day by day in my life as a Christian. But that is faith. God working in hearts. And so, Jesus said to the woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. And He told Jairus, be not afraid. Only believe, have faith in God. But what is the result? What is the outcome here? We see the problem of sickness, the preciousness of faith, but notice thirdly, the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord. Verse 29, coming first of all to the woman, and straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. The woman was healed instantly. Now, the word that is used here is the word straightway. A word that I guess we don't use very much in English today. We probably tend to use the word immediately more often. But the word straightway is used frequently in Mark's gospel. Mark is a gospel of action. It's interesting to compare Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to see the similarities, but also to see the difference. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are often called the synoptic gospels. Some of you are familiar with that term. Synoptic coming from Greek, two Greek words, meaning to see alike. And it looks at the life of Christ from the same point of view. Matthew sees Him as the King of the Jews, Mark as a servant, Luke as the Son of Man. But then John's Gospel looks at the life of Christ from a different point of view, because John's Gospel sees Him as the Son of God. So you see the Gospels looking at the life of Christ in somewhat different sense. But you get your various characteristics. And one of the characters of Mark is his emphasis on action and immediacy. Now, you know, we saw the word straightway here in verse 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. And then verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose. You see that word euthus, or straightway. You see that word again. So, action, but the power of the Lord. The woman was healed instantly. You know, today, we're not feeling well. We go see the doctor. The doctor prescribes some medications. And you go to, or you get somebody to go for you if you're sick enough. Somebody goes and fills the prescription, come back, and you take your medicine, and hopefully, you know, after you've completed your course of antibiotics, maybe a week, you're beginning to feel a little bit better. But it takes time. But not when Dr. Jesus got the healing. Immediately, she was well. Straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And when Jesus said to Jairus' daughter, you know, arise, immediately the damsel arose. So Jesus healed immediately. That's the power of the Lord. The Lord Jesus has power over disease, as we see Him healing the woman here. But not only did He heal this woman, He also heals many other sick people. Blind Bartimaeus, He healed him and gave him back his sight. The paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus by his four friends. They couldn't get in the house. They climbed up on the flat roof, made a hole in the opening. That was Mark chapter 2. Alright? Since we're following the readings in the daily manner, you might remember chapter 2. You know, and how they let their friend down right in front of Jesus. And the first thing Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Because Jesus dealt with the most important thing first. And then afterwards, He said, all right, you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. And then He turns to the paralyzed man and says, take up your bed and walk. And he healed. You know, we have time and again in Scripture how Jesus heals immediately. Except for one case, for it was not immediate. The one blind man. What do you see? I see men as trees walking. And then Jesus healed him so that he had perfect eyesight. 20/20? Whatever it was, perfect eyesight. Alright, that's our Lord. Our doctors today take time to heal. That's not with Dr. Jesus. So that's the power of the Lord. Look too at the raising of the daughter of Jairus. You know, if you look at that, she also was raised instantly. You know, we see here, verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, this is in Aramaic, by the way, it's not Hebrew, it's Aramaic, Talitha Kumi. Alright? Remember that at the time of our Lord, the commonly spoken language in the Holy Land was actually not Hebrew, but was Aramaic. Hebrew and Aramaic are very similar, by the way. Alright? So, just a few minor differences. But the Talitha Kumi is actually Aramaic. And in case you're wondering what the English translation is, well, which is being interpreted, damsel, arise. Well, that's the meaning of Talitha Kumi. Kumi from the verb kum, which means to arise. Talitha, young girl, or maiden, or damsel. And so Jesus says, damsel, arise. Verse 42, and straightway, immediately, the damsel arose and walked. There must have been a happy family gathering that night. As the sick daughter, who was at the point of death, is now alive. See, the Lord Jesus has not only power over sickness, but He also has power over death. And incidentally, He also has power over the forces of nature. You know, when the storm arose on the Sea of Galilee, He said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed Him. He also has power over demons. He cast out the demons. But here we see His power over death. Now, three times we read in the Gospels that Jesus raised someone from the dead. First one is the account that we have here, the daughter of Jairus. She's still on her deathbed. She has just died. Because when Jesus started going to the house, she was still alive. So she has just died. The second one was the son of the widow of Nain. N-A-I-N. The son of the widow of Nain. And in that case, Jesus interrupted the funeral procession. Because as He was walking, they were on their way to the cemetery. And He stopped the procession. And He raised the widow's son. So we have the daughter of Jairus, the son of the widow, and then we have the third case, the brother of Mary and Martha. Now, in case you're wondering about the brother of Mary and Martha, I'll give you his name. It's Lazarus. In case you didn't recognize him. But we have Lazarus. He had been dead 4 days already. Roll away the stone from the tomb. Lord, by this time he stinketh. Have faith in God. Only believe. Roll that stone away. And they rolled the stone away. Love her. Come forth. And he did. Interestingly, the Jews believed that when a person died, the spirit would stay nearby for 3 days. Now, this is not biblical, by the way, but that was Jewish belief. So, the raising of the daughter of Jairus, well, you know, she just died. Spirit was still there, so it's very easy for a spirit to go back in. Case of the widow of Nain, well, the practice was to bury within 24 hours. Right. Singapore, unless they have changed the law, Singapore has a law that says, unless you embalm the body, you must bury within 24 hours. I've done my share of funerals in Singapore, so we know it. Within 24 hours. The Jewish practice was also within 24 hours. And in most cases, it was done on the day itself. So it died in the morning, they'd be buried in the afternoon. So it was only late afternoon, then they might be buried the next day. They wouldn't do it that way. But they would bury quickly. So the widow's son would have been dead less than 24 hours. But in the case of Lazarus, we're told very clearly, Lord, he's been there 4 days already. At this time, the body has begun to decompose. It stinks. That's the word used, all right, in the Bible. But Jesus has Lazarus been forth. Jesus has power over death. Let me quote to you what J.C. Ryle says here. Let us see in this glorious miracle a proof of what Jesus can do for dead souls. Now, he talks about the miracle there of the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Dead, but now alive. So, and he can go on, and J.C. Ryle says, now he can raise our children from the death of trespasses and sins, and make them walk before him in newness of life. So what J.C. Ryle is pointing out is the fact, yes, Jesus has the power to raise the dead. But not only does he have the power to raise those who are physically dead, he also has the power to raise those who are spiritually dead. And that's why he makes reference there. He can raise our children from the death of trespasses and sins. We are dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. And so he can also make them walk before him in newness of life. So that's our Lord. We saw the problem of sickness, the preciousness of faith, and the power of the Lord. But as we see the power of the Lord in raising the physical dead and realize that he can also raise those that are spiritually dead, I want to ask you, are you spiritually alive? Are you saved? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You've seen his power. The power to raise even the dead. To heal the sick. To raise the dead. Are you saved? If not, it is my prayer that you will come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. But then, I'm also thinking that many of you are Christians. You are believers. But do you have relatives or do you have friends who are not saved? I know a number of you do. You've shared it. We pray for some of you every Wednesday night in our prayer meetings. Pray for the unsaved loved ones that you have. You know, let us call on the Lord. Let us call on Him to come and give them life. Let us send to Him message after message, asking Him to help, that they may come and believe on the Lord. Because the one who came to help the woman with the issue of blood, the one who came to help the daughter of Jairus, is still plenteous in mercy. He is still mighty in power. And He is able to save to the uttermost those who come by faith to Him. If you have friends, relatives that are not saved, pray for them. Because the power of the Lord is there. He has that power to heal the sick. He has the power to raise the dead. And He has the power to save you, your loved ones, your family members, your friends. But just as the woman went to Jesus to be healed, as Jairus went to Jesus and asked for help, let us go to Jesus and ask for His help. And He will answer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may our faith indeed look up to Thee, knowing that Thou art plenteous in mercy, that Thou art mighty in power, that Thou art able to save. Lord, as we have seen Thy power in healing the sick, in raising the dead, as we know that Thou hast power over the forces of nature in stilling the storm, in casting out the demon, Lord, we know that You have the power to save us and to save our loved ones. Lord, it is through faith that we can be made whole, that we can have forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. And so, Lord, help us not to be afraid, but to believe, knowing that our faith can make us whole. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, in 59.